This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9. Good morning. I'm Sharad Kutan with Tan Chung Han and Brian Fernandez. And we start with the Malaysian Aviation Commission, something that we might not all be familiar with, MAVCOM it's called. It is confirmed that it will be charging air travellers a one-ringgit levy when departing Malaysian airports.
So basically, this levy could be implemented as early as 2018. But before that, and will cover both domestic and overseas flights, except for rural air services in Sabah and Sarawak. But what is MAVCOM really? MAVCOM was established last year in March, and basically an independent entity to regulate commercial and economic affairs related to civil aviation in Malaysia. Now, that differs from, for example, the Ministry of Transport role, which is basically as the policymaker and a G2G negotiator for rights and so forth, and the DCA, or the Department of Civil Aviation, which is the technical regulator that governs aviation in Malaysia.
All right, so the question here is, why are travellers who are using or going through Malaysian airports, why do we have to pay this one ringgit? Albeit, you know, it's a relatively, well, a pretty negligible sum, right?
And we do already pay something called the passenger service charge.
Right. So on top of that, you've got this one ringgit levy, which potentially could be passed on or being incurred on passengers, right? So according to Azmir Zain, who is MAVCOM's COO, they say that MAVCOM will use this money to make sure that they remain independent, basically fund their operations. Now,
yeah, because the government is cutting off their funding at the end of this year.
Right.
Yeah,
so that's the Zane,
whole thing. Right. And so the burden then, you know, falls on passengers, right? So the question here is, really, should passengers have to fork out more money to fund this extra layer of bureaucracy? Because, Brian, as you mentioned, we already have the DCA, we already had the Ministry of Transportation. You know, MAVCOM only came into the picture 1 year ago. And we have, before that, the passenger growth that we've been seeing has been, what, 40-50%, you know, prior to that. So, you know, it seems that there has been healthy growth there. So do we really need MAVCOM? Are they justified in charging that one ringgit passenger fee?
And also, what's the impact of that one dollar or one ringgit passenger fee? It's 21.8 million per year to MAVCOM. That's a lot of money to run a regulator.
Right. We have seen them at work already since they came into the picture again early part of 2016. So, for example, you've got the PSC. These are the passenger security service charges, right? PSC. So they have actually raised the PSC for domestic and international flights for those coming out of KLIA2. The idea is to make these charges on par between, or to create this level playing field, at least in terms of PSC, between KLIA and KLIA2. Now, obviously, for the likes of, you know, Malaysia Airlines or those full service carriers who are operating out of KLIA, that's a yay for them, right? That's great. Okay, so now they have they are more competitive versus KLIA2. But for KLIA2 and by extension AirAsia, they're saying, you know, what on earth is going on? Because we are supposed to be this low cost hub. Our services, our facilities are nowhere near are not on the same level as KLIA. So why should we be charged the same level of PSC?
But Peter Bellew argues that they should be charged the equal number because it's unfair for them to be burdened with extra costs, particularly when they only make something in the region of $5 per passenger.
But then they're playing in different fields, right? I mean, this is right. Is the comparison between two equal things. I mean, I thought the idea with the airports was that they're supplying two different segments of the market.
Exactly. Right.
So what is it to ask for a level playing field when your competitor is not actually in your own market?
Right, because with KLIA, you know, a bigger share of their travellers would be, say, the more premium or business travellers, right, as opposed to LCC. Well, sorry, KLIA2 now. It's mainly budget travellers, right? So broadly speaking, at least according to information sent to me by AirAsia, the travellers who use KLIA2 are more price sensitive. So be it a one ringgit levy or be it a doubling of the PSC, at least for some routes, you know, they're going to feel the burden right there. Now, to be fair, MAVCOM did lower the PSC for ASEAN routes, although according to today's news reports, you know, they could bump that back up again. But as a result of that lowering, they have actually seen a spurring of demand for ASEAN-bound flights. So again, highlighting the price-sensitive natures for budget travellers.
Yeah, and also, if we're looking at a bigger macro picture in terms of tourism arrivals, we are projecting 31 million passengers or tourist arrivals in Malaysia this year, contributing over 100 billion ringgit to the economy. Now, we've got to look, I think, at the broader picture in terms of being very competitive vis-a-vis the region in terms of all of these charges to attract tourists to come in. Because after all, many, as Peter Bellew mentioned in his Breakfast Grill, many of the travellers coming from China are first-time travellers. And they like Malaysia also because of its cost competitiveness.
But in its current state, again, whether or not we can stay competitive, you look at what's happening in Changi down south. They just opened about T4, right? You look at what's happening in Bangkok. You look. There's a study out there that $1 trillion US dollars are said to be used to either build new airports or expand capacity. Over there in Hong Kong, they're using reclaimed land to build a new runway, for example. No, Korea, everybody's jumping on this bandwagon, right? But with KLIA, KLIA2, how much is MAHB putting towards expanding the capacity in order, or at least improving our services in order to remain competitive against the likes of Bangkok, against the likes of Singapore?
But what about the question of the one ringgit? I mean, it doesn't seem like very much for the individual, and this is a cost to the consumer, not to the companies, right? So you don't have a kind of aggregated number, you know. So why and does one ringgit really matter? Is it going to deter somebody from taking a flight out of or into Kuala Lumpur?
Yeah, I'm going to get personal here. Okay, as a principal, for me, there has to be this pushback. Be it a one ringgit levy, or even with EIS, right? A 0.25%. What's 0.2% from your paycheck? But the idea is, there's money already being taken out. We're already paying these funds for PSEs and whatnot, right? Why take more? You should make do with the money that you're already taking from us, be it from tax. SOXO or now in this case PSEs, right? So that by principle, that's where I'm coming from. That's my base case, right? But so it goes back to the question that we asked earlier on. One ringgit, yeah, maybe it's a small amount, but is MAVCOM justified by asking passengers to pay for over 20 million ringgit just to justify their existence?
Okay. Public Bank has forged a partnership with Ant Financial to offer Alipay mobile wallet services for its merchants. Ant Financial is an affiliate of Alibaba Group. According to The Edge, the service is meant to cater particularly to Alipay users from China who travel and shop in Malaysia.
Yeah, so Public Bank is a latecomer in the whole e-payment space in terms of incorporating things like Alipay. Ant Financial actually set up a joint venture with CIMB via its Touch and Go subsidiary to create an e-wallet solution. The e-wallet and e-payment business really in Malaysia is quite fragmented at the moment. And financials and this giant that Alipay coming into the market, really it's a precursor for greater competition within the Malaysian space. But what is driving all of this is really a cost issue. Now, the average Alipay fee is basically between 0.7% to 1.2%. Your average credit card fee is between 1.5% and 3.5%. So it's significantly cheaper to use these e-wallet services.
Yeah, now that's on the cost of these e-wallet operators, right? While Public Bank obviously being the latest to jump on this bandwagon, we had CIMB sign a deal with Alipay also recently. You had the rollout of, I think, Alipay in 7-Eleven stores. So there has been these movements. But whether or not it'll gain traction with Malaysian consumers, because we are still a very cash-centric society.
I mean, if we found out, if you read the news, apparently beggars in China are jumping on the bandwagon. Isn't that amazing? So you can actually give a tip to a beggar using an e-wallet.
The QR code. And likewise at hawkers as well. So can you imagine a day when we go to the mama stalls, we don't need our wallets, we just swipe our phones.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.